share it with others. So let's go back to 1 Peter 3. We're going to back up a few verses to verse 13 to get a more full picture. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for good, if that should be God's will, than do evil. I have gathered 5 points in the preparation for defending our hope. First point is we should know our hope, because we can't possibly defend what we don't know. Second point is defense takes skill, and we can grow this skill. Third, be gentle and respectful. Fourth, if not one-on-one, then two-on-two, then two-by-two. Let me repeat that one again. If not one-on-one, then two-by-two. And the last point, do not fear. So let's start off with the first point, knowing our hope. If you will, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We'll be reading 13 through 18 to get a little refresher on what our hope is. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So our hope is that we will be raised on that future day of trumpets. And on that day, we will see all the wonderful heroes of the Bible and all be unified together and become the bride of Christ. This is our hope and why we go through our sufferings and through the changing of our mind and spirit to grow closer to God, so that we might be able to be a small part of something infinitely greater than the sum of all of us together. This leads me to my second point. Defense takes skill, and we can grow this skill. When preparing for this, I asked AI, what does it take to defend an argument. This is what it returned. Defending an argument effectively requires a combination of preparation, local logical reasoning, and emotional control. Key skills include staying calm, using facts and evidence to support your claims, and understanding your opponent's viewpoint. You must clearly articulate your position, listen to counterarguments, and be willing to admit mistakes to build credibility and facilitate productive discussions. To me, this kind of preparation and skill is the same as what it takes to prepare yourself to don on the armor of God. So let's read about the armor of God. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10. It's Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in this heavenly place, in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten on the belt of truth. Truth needs to be the basis of our defense. Because if we do not stand in truth, then we cannot put on any other piece of armor. Going back to scripture, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness here means the rightness of God. And on our own, we cannot hope to be righteous. But through the Holy Spirit and by the sacrifice of our brother Jesus Christ, we can have God's righteousness imputed to us so that we can don this piece of armor. And as shoes on your feet have, back in verse 15, and as the shoes on your feet, having put the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The readiness here is the willingness to tell everyone our hope. I know I have struggled with this in the past. Before I started giving sermonettes, I was feeling quite anxious about getting up and speaking in front of people. I remember one time I met Steve Parker and discussed this with him. I was wanting to do more, but I couldn't get myself to actually move and be ready. His response was, "Come on, Doug, just say yes. You can do this. What do you have to lose? I'm here to help." And so to this day, when I'm feeling anxious about starting something new, I say to myself, "Doug, just say yes. Put on those shoes of readiness and jump in with both feet. God will help you with the rest." Going back to verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Faith here is the evidence of things unseen. And it is important to remember that it is based in evidence. This means that when trying to defend our hope, We should base this off of our evidence and not 100% scientifically proven facts, because science cannot prove what we cannot see and test. And is this evidence that will quench the attacks that are being hurled at us? Going back to verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet is to protect us against Satan's daily attacks. With the idea of salvation is an ongoing repentance where our sins have to be washed away by Christ's sacrifice. Going back to Ephesians here, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplications to that end keep alert and all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. And also for me, that word may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The sword here is the last piece of armor. It's the word of God spoken through each of us when we defend our hope. But much like a sword, words can cut deep. And this is why we need to be gentle and respectful when delivering this message. Which brings us to our third point. Sometimes, when we go on the defensive, it can be hard to be kind and gentle towards the other person. When we feel like we're being attacked, the natural way is to attack back. But this is not what we should be doing. To see how we can be gentle, let's turn to Titus 3. That's Titus 3, we'll be reading 1 through 3. Titus 3, verse 1. Remember them to be submissive to rules and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil to no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days as malice and envy, hated by others and hating others. Here we see that our gentleness should come from a state of compassion for our fellow humans. We should remember that we did not start knowing God's hope, but we had to learn it. We also should understand that a lot of people who are coming up and trying to argue with us on this are hurting. We shouldn't try to hurt them anymore. Instead, we should extend the same grace that God gave to us when he called us. This has an aspect of meeting the person where they are. And in order to meet somebody where they are, you first must ask questions and know where they are to learn what state in their life they're at. and then use gentleness and respect towards that other person while discussing this and defending your hope, while not degrading any of your points. And if done right, this has the ability to make a connection and show them the full hope that is in us. Now, all of this becomes exceedingly hard when dealing with a group of people. And it can get overwhelmingly quick, which leads us to our next point. If not one-on-one, then two by two. What I mean by this is if you aren't sitting down and talking with somebody one-on-one, if you're talking to a group of people, then go at it alone. I think there's a reason why Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Let's turn to Luke 10 and read Jesus' instructions before he sent out his disciples. That's Luke 10. We're reading 1 through 3. Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead, two by two, and to every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Here we see Jesus sending out. We see Jesus says he's sending us out as lambs in the midst of wolves. He did this, though, two by two. I think this is Jesus setting the precedent that when you face an opponent that outnumbers you, do so with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And this leads us to the last point, do not fear. It is important when facing this task because it can become daunting and uncomfortable at times. But fear can lead us to making stupid or strange decisions. So to see how we shouldn't fear, let's turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. That's 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 through 9. 2 Timothy verse 1, or 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel of the power of God, by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of our own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the age began." Here we see that we are not given, or that we are given a spirit of power and love and self-control and not of fear. So we should be bold in sharing our hope so that all around us might know and come to hear of God's plan. So this whole time, the sub-theme in this message has been preparation and readiness. I don't know if you've noticed that. You might look back at some of your notes and see. So to conclude, To be prepared in defending our hope, we must know the hope that God promises for us. Defense takes skill, and it is this skill that we grow that allows us to be ready to put on that whole armor of God. Yet even with this armor, we are to be prepared to be gentle and respectful, showing compassion to the person who we're defending against. When we face a crowd, do not do so alone. Be ready with a brother in Christ so that y'all can back each other up. And last, remember, do not fear, for it is by our preparation and by the power of God that we will be seen through this, and that the people who we're defending against might truly see this wonderful hope that is in us.